The singing of the doxology by the PCC student body begins Pensacola Christian College Chapel. At each chapel service, students have an opportunity to receive spiritual exhortation and enrichment during a time of music and meditation on God's Word. This podcast shares selected recent chapel messages from guest speakers, faculty, and staff. Welcome to the PCC Chapel Podcast.
I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. And may I say what an honor it is to be here. I want to say if there are any faculty members as far as the teacher education department, the teachers that we get from Pensacola Christian College are just the most prepared. We've had a Christian school for over 40 years, and it has been our delight they just get involved, not just in the teaching aspect and do a good job, but also do a wonderful job in the local church. In fact, I think staff members, those who are in our Christian school, ought to be maybe some of the finest members that we have, and they are. In fact, we've had a number of folks being in the Dallas-Fort Worth area is where Flower Mound is. We've had a number of graduates who have moved to the area, and then they find a church. In fact, one of our men right now is a Pensacola grad, is one of our deacons, and we have another one that will be very shortly who is a Pensacola grad. So thank God for the ministry of Pensacola Christian College and all of you young people. And I want to kind of address that. I mentioned it a little bit last night about how important everybody is. I'm assuming that the vast majority of you students are not going into being a missionary or a pastor or evangelist as far as career. Many of you are in education, many of you in business, engineering. I met a number of engineering students out there. And lo and behold, they have a personality. Many of those brainiacs are just hard to talk with, and they're great young people. So you are going to understand how important you are to the local New Testament church, because school days will one day be over. Won't you be glad of that, all right? And so the involvement in the local church, though, is a lifetime thing to be involved in the local church. And notice in 1 Corinthians 12 how Paul is likening the church to the body. I mentioned that last night. And he says in verse 14, "For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body?" The foot would kind of feel that way. Use that illustration. What do you do to a foot? You put a shoe on it. You cover it up. You put a sock on it. Nobody ever sees it but a hand. You ladies with all the nail polish and rings on the hand. And so sometimes the foot gets the idea, well, I'm not that visible. I'm not that important. And then if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, verse 16, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? He just feels unimportant. I'm just the ear. I'm not the eye. And so vision, so very important, hearing important as well, but feels insignificant. And Paul is trying to say, never doubt how significant you are to the work of the Lord. And then he moves down, as I said last night, verse 21, "And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. You're not me, so I don't need you." So as I said, two lines of thought here. One line where you feel like you don't matter, and the other line where you feel like you matter too much, where the work of the Lord wouldn't go on without you. And that's why he says, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Verse 22 is really where I want to take the text. "Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary." I preached a series of sermons at our church on not well known, but necessary and needed. How many people in Scripture are not well known? Now, we have many names that immediately you could think of in the Old Testament. You know, who doesn't know about David and Samson, and who doesn't know about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Well known. But how many people are given to us in the Word of God that are not even named? The little maid who was responsible for the leper to be cleansed, and we know his name but don't know her name. There were four men who brought a man sick of the palsy and got him to Jesus and let him down through the roof. We don't have any idea what their names were, but not unknown. They're unknown to us, but not unknown to God. Hebrews 6:10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love that you've shown toward his saints and that you've ministered to the saints and do minister. And so thank God for your work. Your work, even though it may not be a career where you are employed by a church ministry as such, your work through the local New Testament church will always matter and be important. I thank God for folks who are coming. We rejoice when people come and become a part of the Temple Baptist Church. And when you get somewhere, if you've graduated and you settle in, find a local New Testament church and get busy in that New Testament church for the Lord Jesus Christ. Until then, get busy here in the wonderful campus church and the work going on there. But I want to make mention of one particular man. Turn back to Acts chapter number 9, if you would. Acts 9. Here is the Apostle Paul. He has gotten saved, and he has said to the Lord, what would you have me to do? And he's yielding his life to the Lord, and yet he is blind, can't see for a while. And so the Lord calls upon a man named Ananias. Now, he appears on the pages of Holy Writ just here and in the testimony of the Apostle Paul about how God used him in a special way. Not a well-known man. Most of us wouldn't think too much about him often when you think about well-known people in Scripture. But he was, as one preacher said, kind of like the pilot light who lit the great furnace fire of the Apostle Paul. And I think God used Ananias in this particular setting to be significant in the life of the Apostle Paul so that everyone would understand how important it is that every preacher who's had great success is never a self-made man. Been used of God in a mighty way. It's a great team effort. We oftentimes in football, we more relate to the quarterback and how important he is. But I want to tell you something. If it wasn't for those big linemen who are not necessarily physical specimens, they usually are, well, quite frankly, fat, and they block for that quarterback. And if they don't block for him, he's passing looking up at the sky. And so the linemen are very important. And so this Ananias, very important to the Apostle Paul. And I want you to notice some things about him that can speak to all of our hearts. Those of you who may feel like, well, I'll never be greatly known in a church, but you are. Every choir member, everybody matters. And so in verse number 10, there was a certain disciple, a follower of Jesus, not a missionary as such, not a deacon as such, not a man that had an office, if you will, a disciple of Jesus Christ. And the Lord speaks to him, named Ananias. And the Lord said to him, said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call upon thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Now notice some things about this particular man and how God used him. As I said, no office. Not necessarily even a talented man. No specific thing said about that. A devout man. A disciple of Jesus Christ. You know, I thank God for devout people that love the Lord. As I said, we have one deacon who's a graduate of Pensacola Christian College. He's a devout man, loves the Lord. Six children. He has really helped increase the attendance at the Temple Baptist Church in a wonderful way and very involved. And so he doesn't sing in the choir. Right now he's not teaching a class, but he's a deacon. Chief financial officer, Mike Harrison, who grew up with Shane Lewis. Many of you heard Shane Lewis preach. Grew up at our church. Both Mike and, and Shane, both of them were the best basketball players we ever had at Temple Baptist. They had a humility about their basketball prowess. They had a humility about it that they were proud of, and they were good. And Shane went on to become a preacher, and Mike became a deacon at our church, ultimately. So here was that kind of, this kind of man, Ananias, a devout man, and holding no office, but he had a good report of the Jews, Paul said of him in giving his testimony, a good report. That's a wonderful thing. May you as a student here have a good report with the faculty and those around you that you are a blessing and a great help and a kind person. And here was that kind of man. His posture was such, as in verse 10, the Lord spoke to him, and Ananias said, "Behold, I am here." When God speaks to you, be ready to respond. Be ready to yield yourself to Christ. Be ready to go, as they have sung so beautifully, that quartet. Are you ready to yield to Him, or are you just saying, "Well, I'm here, but I'm not ready to yield to the Lord." May your heart soften, as Ananias' heart was softened. Lord, I'm here, and his posture was ready. May we all be ready to do whatever the Lord would have for us to do. Whatever it is, may we be ready to serve and be used of Him in a mighty way. So that was his posture. His direction was such that he was willing to listen to what the Lord would say to him. Here's what I want you to do. Here's where I want you to go. You know, God will direct you if you'll seek His face. He'll make it plain to you exactly where He would have you to go. When we moved to the Dallas area, the direction that we thought we were going in just kind of fell apart. And the Lord opened a door and told us specifically, "I want you to go to Lewisville, Texas." And I didn't know a soul there. And so God may direct you to a place or to a country or some particular ministry. Be ready to go wherever God would have you to go. And He was ready. And who to go to? I've got a man who's looking for you. I've already let him know that you're going to come. And you know, God has people prepared for that. When we got to Lewisville, Texas, started with 44 years ago with 11 people and a $12 offering. And as I said to the seminary chapel, if I'd have put more in, I'd have gotten more out. And it was a very humble beginning, but the Lord has blessed us since then in a great way. And God brought people in to be able to help us in a wonderful way. And he said, the Lord said to him, when, not just where or who, but just said to Ananias, here's when I want you to go. I want you to arise now. Now is the time for you to decide to get busy for Jesus. And now he had a little difficulty. You ever had difficulty with what the Lord wants you to do? You know, I have sometimes. We struggle with money, a little offering. Lord, are you sure about that? Could you say that again in both ears, exactly what you want me to give, what you want me to do? Now, Ananias here has a little difficulty. He wants to tell the Lord exactly what the Lord already knows. Now, Lord, I'm ready to go. You told me who to go to, but I'm not sure you understand. You know, you're saying this to the Lord. I'm not sure you understand all about this guy. Let me inform you some things. I've heard, you know, I've read it on the internet about this guy. And, I mean, he's a pretty difficult character. Are you sure this is the same guy? Because he's even put people in prison. He has even put people to death. You ever argue with God? Have you ever done that where you said, Lord, are you sure that's what you have for me to do? Or is it just a whim? And I want to tell you something. The Lord will make certain, and He'll even deal with and help you with your doubting at times, and bring sometimes circumstances and providence into your life. Some of you may feel like God is changing your major to maybe move into ministry, and you wonder, am I just caught up in the excitement of the spirituality of this place, and am I really right about that? He'll help you with your doubts, and He'll encourage you in a wonderful way. And the Lord just dealt with him and said, yes, I'm well aware of that. You just go ahead and go. Just obey, and the Lord will take care of it. And so his obedience, here was his obedience. It was prompt. Delayed obedience is not obedience at all. Do it now. What is it that God's been dealing with you about, that you've been hesitant about surrendering your life to and letting it be known? I remember as a 15-year-old young man, a long time ago, that I went to my pastor and I said, how do you know when you want to be a preacher? How do you know that? And we talked together in that church that I got saved in. Now, I often hear people describe and say, well, I came from a little church. Well, numerically, I came from a little church where if we'd had 50 people, we'd have thought we had a host no man could number. I mean, just, but numerically small, but it was a big church in my life. And I went to my pastor and said, how do you know? Well, God will speak to you and direct you. And I'll tell you, that next Sunday as a 15-year-old, I surrendered to be a preacher. And I want to tell you, I've never regretted that decision. You yield yourself to whatever it is that God would have for you to do. You'll never regret doing His will. And so he got up promptly and he went exactly where God told him to go. Not as Jonah. We're all very familiar with Jonah, how God had told him to go to Nineveh, that great city, and he was a bigot. He really was. He didn't want that Gentile city to respond to his evangelistic work, and he went the other way, but not that way with Ananias. Ananias went exactly where God told him to go, and he went lovingly. He said, I want you to know the Lord has sent me here. Verse 17, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. The Lord has sent me. And I want to tell you, it is no accident that you are here. It is no accident that you have come to be a part of this place. You're important. You matter. Your DNA is unique. There's no one else like you. He made them male and female, and God has a purpose for your life. It may not be totally as plain to you today, now, but if you'll keep a tender heart, the Lord will show you exactly what He has for you to do. If you keep your heart and mind open, no telling what He has for you to do. No telling what will come from this place. As God speaks to your heart in a wonderful way, it doesn't mean that you are less important if you're not an evangelist or a missionary or a pastor's wife or a Christian school teacher. Every person is important in the great cause of Christ. I thank God for all of the wonderful modern inventions that we have, that God has enabled people to have the intelligence, the intellect to be able to design. And I thank God for all the medical people, as I mentioned last night, recovering from that heart attack and all that went on in my life during that time. I'm thankful for all the med students and the nurses. How many nursing students here? Raise your hand. You're a nursing student. All right, many of you all around. Thank God for nurses. And they honestly, when you're in the hospital, do most of the work the doctors get the credit for. So God bless you for your burden about that. Don't think of yourself less significant. In fact, some years ago, a nursing major moved to the Dallas area, got a job at a hospital, and immediately found a church. Our church got busy, sang in the choir, and got busy for Jesus Christ. Single lady. What a wonderful testimony. And may you decide that I may not become well-known preacher like the Apostle Paul, and he did, but the Apostle Paul was not just ministering in such a great way by himself. God brought many people into his life to help him, and it began with this one Ananias, appears on the pages of Holy Writ, and then disappears apart from the testimony of how God used him in Paul's life. And remember this, that God will use you to encourage you and to encourage the pastor or preacher where you get involved in the church. Church days will never end. And think about being involved and saying, when I get out, how many seniors are here? Raise your hand. You're a senior and you prayerfully plan to graduate. When you go to wherever it is that God is directing you, I want you to know, find a church, get busy, be used of God in a wonderful way. Because there are preachers that are going to need you. That church will need you to sing in the choir, teach a class, work in the nursery, whatever way it may be. You will matter in the great cause of Jesus Christ. God has a purpose for your life. What is it?
You've been listening to a message from Pensacola Christian College Chapel. You're welcome to pass this sermon along to others. Please don't charge for it or alter it without written permission from Pensacola Christian College. For additional information about PCC, visit us online at pcci.edu. Pensacola Christian College, empowering Christian leaders to influence the world for Christ.